Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Joining me at the roundtable today is John Essex II. He is an artist, bagpiper, and caricaturist. And you can find out more about John and all his work at essexart.webs.com. That's essexart.webs.com. John, I just am so fascinated by the fact that you are an artist, a bagpiper, and a caricaturist. But my first question for you is, when did you first realize that art was going to be your destiny? Or maybe I should say, in your case, the arts.
The arts.
Yeah.
I was a little kid, and all I ever remember wanting to be, really, is an artist. I don't know exactly the first time I picked up something, a pencil to draw with, but I will tell you, and this will age me somewhat, when I was a little kid, there was a guy on TV called John Nagy. John Nagy learned to draw, and this was spelled G-N-A-G-Y, and I remember trying to sit there and follow him along, and it just seemed like I could never keep up, because he would be drawing, they'd go to a commercial, and it seemed like he'd come back, and it's done.
We didn't have the pausing capacities back then. Different now. And I'll age myself too and tell you that when I'm creating these videos and things, I forget sometimes that people can pause the video if they want to, write something down. And I'm trying to make it last a long time so people have time to read it or write it. And I'm like, wait a minute, people can pause, So I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, so it was like way early then, elementary school. And then, of course, I took all the art classes I possibly could in high school, which included jewelry. John Marshall High School in the 70s had jewelry, pottery, jewelry, of course, drawing and such. Then I majored in art in college, went to Franklin College down in Franklin, Indiana, became an art teacher. And in those days, this was in 76, when I signed my first teacher contract, you had to get your master's degree to continue teaching. Your license would expire if you didn't do that. So I went to IUPUI and got my master's in secondary education and did artwork throughout my life. And when I retired from teaching after 33 years, I formed my art business the very next month.
Wow.
And,
you're like, I'm not retiring from art, just from the teaching part.
That's why I couldn't figure out for my little business what to do. I didn't want to give up anything.
Exactly.
So art, bagpiping and caricatures.
All of it. I love it.
A potpourri.
When you first contacted us to be at the roundtable and do this interview, I went on your website and I looked at everything on your Facebook page and all of that. And the first thing that struck me was, first of all, your journey has been so full. You have done so much. And you've had some amazing highs, some wonderful, you're recipient of a lot of wonderful grants and awards and things, which is just awesome. I'm so happy to see artists who have succeeded that way. And then, the whole thing with the bagpipes, I was just kind of like, now I have to ask, how did bagpipes come into your world? Because that's not something that we see a lot,
That's so true. Well, again, as a little kid, seeing them at the 500 parade. I don't even remember the first time I heard bagpipes. Right. I just have always loved them. The sound just, it just does something. It pulls you to them. It just takes you to another place.
It does. And I agree with that. That's why I was so fascinated to see that you are a bagpiper, because for me, when I think of bagpipes, I think of, you know, the hills and the mists of Ireland and Scotland and you know, right, having ancestry through Ireland and Wales and those parts of the world through my dad's side. It just calls to me. It's just like an internal just pull. It's hard
That's
to describe.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. I had been going to the library again in those days. They were albums,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I was going to the Indianapolis Library, getting bagpipe records out, listening to them at home. And then we were still taking the Indianapolis News. Back then, it was the Star News, the News in the Afternoon. And there was an article or a column, kind of a consumer column, called Herman Hogelbogel.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yes. Old Herman was a big part of my piping.
Okay.
Well, somebody had written there saying, my husband loves bagpipes. He gets records from the library and listens to them, etc. Where could I tell him that he could go take lessons? And so I skipped down and read the name, because I thought for sure my wife had written that. But it wasn't her name. So I took the paper to her, and this was back in, I think, May of 81. And I showed her I didn't say anything. I just showed her. I said, did you write this? And she reads it, and she goes, no, I hate bagpipes. And I told her, well, then I've got some bad news.
Yeah, bad news for you, yeah.
And I called the number, and I've been playing them ever since.
That's wonderful. That's
yeah.
Wonderful. I love
it was
that.
It's so funny.
Well, yeah, I'm going to tell our audience real quick that you're going to hopefully be able to send me an audio file or maybe even a video file of you playing the bagpipes. So
right, I'm going to work on that.
And there's no rush, but I'd like to include that in the final
sure.
Public upload and everything.
Sure, absolutely.
Can you now? I think I wanted to ask you a little bit, because you have achieved some amazing success. And first of all, just being able to be a working artist your whole life is encouraging to younger artists today, I think. And that you've been the recipient of some wonderful grants and fellowships. I feel like that's also an amazing achievement. Looking at it from the perspective that we have of being artists in the time of COVID-19, when grants funding is being cut and funding in the
right.
schools for the arts and things like that is often cut. I wondered if you could just like tell us just a little bit about how you feel those achievements or those recognitions maybe impacted you or even influenced the work that you do, the creations well, that you make.
Sure. The first one that I received was the Lilly Endowment Teacher Creativity Fellowship. And that was, it's a great and wonderful fellowship to encourage teachers to go off on something that they wouldn't normally do that would energize them so they would be a more effective and better teacher when they go back in the fall. It was actually, I was teaching year-round at the time. It was designed specifically for teachers who had the summers off. So I called them to find out, the Lilly Endowment people, if I would qualify. I assured them I would, on weekends and evenings, put in the number of hours that was required for anyone else. And they said, well, we never even knew people like you existed.
Wow. So you were groundbreaking.
Yeah. I was at the, I was teaching at the Indiana Girls School at the time.
Okay.
So as luck would have it, that she said, yes, go ahead and apply, but that's not a guarantee you're going to get. And I said, I understand. So I applied and I was able to get it. And So I worked with computer art at that time. That's what my intro was with that digitizing stuff. And that was a big learning thing for me. I really enjoyed that. Then later, the Arts Council of Indianapolis came up with a fellowship that was patterned after the Lilly Teacher Creativity one. It's also a Lilly-funded one.
Okay.
And I applied for that and, again, was fortunate enough to get it. And my whole thing there was to go to a tropical island and gather subject matter through photographs and working on site. And at that time I thought, well, what better place to be working with watercolors than in this water environment? Yeah. So I started working with watercolors at that time and doing a lot of like on-site and place-oriented works. And that affected my work considerably, because now I really enjoy doing plein air painting outdoors on site. Not always with watercolor, but
it's
often
with watercolors, because you almost have to do those flat rather than up on the easel.
Yes. And then the waiting time for before you can apply again, etc. But I mean, it can be done. It's just, it's different.
Well, I love that you got these fellowships, but you also used the fellowship as a tool almost to help you expand your horizons as an artist with new technologies you hadn't used before, new ideas and new thoughts to not just grow your own self as an artist, but then to be able to put that back into your teaching at the same time.
Yes, well, in teaching, you're always, at least I was always, and I think most teachers, most art teachers do this, you're always trying to show kids a wide variety of materials and techniques and styles, because you're really hoping that they'll really latch on to one of those. Not everybody's going to do the same thing or be interested in the same materials. So the impact of doing that for 33 years, 23 years of those year round, was on me, in that when people ask me what my favorite medium is, it really and truly is whatever I'm working with at the time.
Yeah. I would imagine it's very hard to choose.
It is. It is. That you just get this, and I thank God I'm able to do what I want. I've had a plan, a very long-term plan, to be able to be secure enough to do what I want in my art. So that, well, and I never thought this would happen, but COVID has really impacted my little, I'm just a one-man band, so to speak, business, and yet COVID has costed me, I don't know if that's the right wording, anyway, thousands of dollars in lost income because of all the changes we have to do. One of the things
that galleries are closed, it's harder to get your work out there.
Right. Well, I also do these painting parties where I will bring all the canvas and bring all the paints and lead people through step by step in the painting of a particular painting. And I mean, that has just dried up completely.
I know that some artists who have skill in teaching those kind of one-on-one group things more have turned to trying to do Zoom classes of basically the same thing.
Right.
Some of the artists that I've talked to have an amazing knack for Zoom lesson style, remote teaching, and some don't feel connected enough to the students that way. And I think COVID-19 has really changed so much for all kinds of artists. And since I also know that you do bagpipes and play music and everything, and I know that you've done the caricatures at different events, I can't even imagine the impact that it's had,
because my caricaturing, like on site with people at events, I never go like a festival and just sit and wait for people to come up. Years ago, I decided my time was worth too much for, I'm not a gambler.
Right.
So
yeah, I hear you.
There's a reason for me to be there, that's going to be a benefit both to me and the people there. Then I don't want to do that.
Right.
So I get hired to be someplace. I used to do a lot of post proms when those were popular.
Yeah.
But so people just stopped doing those. Mm-hmm. However, I did do every year Franklin College has what they call the Welcome Bash. and that's for freshmen coming. And they did do it. It was all outdoors. Still, we were required to wear masks, and it worked out very nicely. But that was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, good. Maybe.
Yeah, those are starting to come back around.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I hope so for the sake of all the artists and musicians that I've met personally through my own art practices and through the organization Community Education Arts that I represent. I really feel for all of us, myself included. I always tell the people who come on the round table, I'm so grateful that you're willing to sit down for 15, 20 minutes and talk to me, so that we can, promote you on our website.
It was my pleasure.
Well, but it honestly, for our organization, it means the world to me that we can talk to other artists in this environment of COVID-19.
Right.
We can stay connected. We can share each other's stories. And if this organization that I founded in 2014 can do just a little bit of that for, the artists that I meet this way and that I've known, in person over the years, I just thank you so much. I really do.
I'm glad you had the opportunity because it's a great idea.
We've been doing it. We've been plugging away. And I also, because you are a visual artist and, if you do get some recordings and everything, I also encourage you to go on our website because we do have, every couple months, we put up a different themed online arts showcase. And I think the one coming up, it's got to be like fall and Halloween, right? That's got to be coming up.
I have been there, right.
Yeah.
And so I've gone to watch your videos as well.
Oh, well, then my video editing skills is a little, but I'm
That's
getting better.
Better than mine.
I'm getting better, I'll tell you. I'm getting better. COVID-19, we got to adjust and embrace technology.
Do what you can. That's right.
Somebody had told me 3 years ago that I would be like trying to put together videos and a podcast. I'd be like, oh, no, you got to get to the
video. Yeah,
but
not going to happen.
It's good in a way because like a lot of artists, suddenly we're all artists in residence in our own homes, so it's good for me to have these projects for both the organization CE Arts, and I still have my own projects going on, but
sure.
I enjoy the nonprofit work that I do with CE Arts because I feel like I'm connecting to people like you and trying to do our part, my part in keeping the arts alive in this world.
That's important.
Yeah. So tell us, before we go, tell us a little bit about what's on the horizon for you coming up.
As far as, with bagpipes, I'm always on call for piping.
Okay.
This isn't quite the happy part of piping, but I do get a lot of calls for funerals. I'm on call for
a lot
of funeral homes. And COVID-19, I really don't care what it did to me on that, but it really hurts me, it bothers me, that families weren't able to say goodbye in the manner in which they wanted to.
Well, and that we're used to. COVID-19 has changed how we grieve. It's changed how we say our final goodbyes.
Exactly. Fortunately, that's changing now, so I've been more active with that. And I always consider that.
You had that with your bagpipes and funerals and things like that. I think that music, that our human need for music has become enhanced and grown with COVID-19. And what you do with the bagpipes and the music that you make is an incredible gift to the rest of us. So I thank you for that.
Well, my pleasure. And I always consider it a humbling honor when a family calls me to be a part of their final goodbye. So it's an important thing. So anyway, I always have that happening.
It's always there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Currently, I'm in two exhibits right now, one up in Fishers at the City Hall. I'm currently in one here in Plainfield, Indiana, which is where my home and studio is, at the library.
Okay.
And it's a joint exhibit between the Plainfield Creatives, which is a fairly new visual arts group, and the digital photography group that's here in Hendricks County. And it's all about birds, so it's kind of cool.
Cool.
Some of the work from my site is on there right now. First Friday, I'll be exhibiting at the Murphy Building at Fountain Square for a one-night exhibit, and that's going to be interesting. I've never gone to something like that wearing a mask,
that's
going to be interesting. It's just one night, and we'll see how that all goes. So that'll be interesting.
Okay.
And then I always have I've got two caricatures on my docket right now to get done. I've got plenty of time still to get those. So I've two color caricatures for people who are in positions that are leaving those positions or new to one. My most recent color caricature that I delivered, it's been a few weeks, was for the Avon superintendent who retired, and she was presented with one of my caricatures. I make them about 11 by 14, and they're in a 16 by 20 frame, so it's a lot of fun. I do those with Prismacolor color pencils, which is a medium I really love. I keep telling myself to do more with that, and I will be. Well, I've done a little bit more. At the end of the year, I get a lot of people want artwork to use as Christmas gifts, or I've got some other artwork that people will commission. This year, I'm pretty much going to quit taking orders maybe early or mid-December. I'm kind of tired of
the rush.
Not skipping. I want to bask in all things Christmas at that time of year.
We'll be sure in all the stuff that we put out there to put your website and everything so people can contact you.
Okay.
Because I really feel like you have wonderful talent that you can offer to create things on a commission basis for people and create some wonderful memories for people that are out there. I thank you so much for coming on the roundtable with me today. I really
My pleasure. It's a real honor to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, all right, world. We'll see you next time at the roundtable.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.